I've got the mic. I'll talk first, and then I'll hand it over to Ed. This is a really rather extraordinary experience, to sit there with so many people in of our community that...
Before you get into that, if you have
you have to reference that. Yes. Are there any public speakers?
There are none.
Thank you. Okay. There are no public... All right. No public speakers, so we will go forth with the meeting. As I was starting to say so eloquently, it was an extraordinary experience of coming together with so many members of the community. And I think it's very important tonight to listen to this community and to their words and to thank them for everything that they've done for us. They gave up work. They gave up time, their own private time, all day for 3 days. And I would say that this was a great experience for everyone concerned. I think people learned a lot about our schools, and we learned a lot about people and what their thoughts are about our schools. And nothing really extraordinary came out of this except that people care, and they want their schools to be best. And I'd like us to respect their words as much as we possibly can, since some of these wordsmithing sessions went on and on and on and on, and we came to consensus, which I thought at some point I didn't know we were going to do that. So obviously we have the right to contribute anything we feel the board members need to say about this, but on the whole, I'm very happy to say that this was one of the more extraordinary experiences I've had in education. And the students that were there did their job, and the teachers that were there did their job, the parents, the businessmen, and our administrators. I remember some people from our tech staff sitting there literally typing up things to give back to people almost instantly, which was rather extraordinary. So there we are. That's my opening remarks. We're about to embark on something that I think is crucial to our school system and to our future. And so let the party begin. Ed, you're on.
Thanks, Marge. I would like to echo Marge's statements. It was a privilege to be on the group, in the group, and to participate in the process as we sometimes painfully got towards consensus on the statements and the belief statements and the parameters and the strategic objectives that are reflected in the plan. The mission statement took about a day to get to, and there really was a lot of discussion over each word, or many of the words, and there was discussion about, well, could this concept be translated into Spanish without losing its meaning, or how would it, how does it come across in Hmong? So there was a lot of, a lot that went into it that may not be apparent in a first and fast read of it. And so I agree with Marge that it's important that to the extent that we can, we respect the work of the group and appreciate the effort that went into this and accept it to the extent we can. So with that, we can start out with a discussion of general reactions, general themes. We could get into a specific discussion of the mission statement. If the superintendent has any introductory remarks, that would be great. Superintendent?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate those words. They reflect how I felt about the process and how I believe the people that participated felt about the process. And I also at the same time want to mention for our public that this is a plan proposal that our Board of Education is dealing with what I'll say due diligence and a combination of working to understand and also an opportunity for them to have reaction and input in forging the final plan, which I think is a critical part of this phase of this, because if this plan is going to be the most meaningful area of our focus going forward, it has to be not the superintendent's plan, not the planning group's plan, but the entire district's plan, and that becomes confirmed through Board of Education action and involvement with the plan. That's critically important. So this is a part of the process that has its own unique process to it. And, you know, my hope is that we can, you know, obviously focus less on words and more on intent. And I would just commend you for the seriousness in which you've taken this plan through this part of the process. My hope for tonight, if I could just kind of lay out that preference, would be to focus in on your priority areas of focus. And I would just simply say the most recent input that you've provided really fit nicely into kind of that big picture kind of perspective. Because what I'd like to commit to you in trying to move this plan to an approval stage in terms of the entire plan is that, and it's really more proper under next steps, but just to kind of give you some time to think about it, is what I would like to do is to come out of this meeting with what those themes are, those areas of focus, however you want to label it, and then I would work with staff in coming back with recommendations that align with your areas of concern, priority, focus for the third meeting, and then at that point in time, you may be able to predict if you're at a point where it can be approved and what it would take to make that happen if you're not. And so I just want to lay that out as kind of, you know, the thought process that I've had in trying to come out of this meeting with the big picture ideas. And if they go to changes in the plan, it would be our intent to make recommendations for the third meeting. If one of the priorities is just to confirm what's there and doesn't call for any change, that's fair game, and that's an important part of your discussion tonight as well. So not everything has to be reflected in a change, certainly, but anything that really says, you know, this is something that is really critically important to the district, but it seems to be missing this perspective, my commitment would be to provide you input for the third session. So I just offer that kind of as a process perspective as you work through this.
Do you have a date for the third meeting?
We don't have a date set for that, and obviously what we want to be able to do is do that sometime within the next 3-4 weeks, give us a little time to respond to your input and making sure that all 7 board members are present when that would happen. I mean, that would, again, be part of the commitment in trying to move this to that third meeting. So what we would do is we'll work with your schedules, looking about 3-4 weeks out, and see what we can put together.
I have a process question. I understand that one of our roles here this evening is to try to see if we can identify what our priorities are among all the material that's in the strategic plan. There is a lot in there, and as our questions indicated, I think we have a lot of questions about particular aspects of the plan, both what it means and what its implications are for the way we work in the district. If we have our discussion about what our priorities are and we identify whatever the number is, 6 to 7 priorities we want to work on, can we then just kind of set aside the other material without really delving into it and say, you know, these are our top priorities, these other specific action steps we aren't in a position to deal with right now, and so we don't need to get into the level of detail with exploring their implications that we might otherwise if we felt that we were really specifically endorsing them for immediate action?
Here, this would be my preference, and that is that gaining a sense of priority is critically important because there's a lot in there. But at the same time, let me just say 2 things. One is if there are areas of the plan, no matter at what point in time, that you would find not acceptable, that's a point of discussion that should occur so it doesn't become a part of the plan. However, at the same time, I would urge you not to deconstruct the entire plan. In other words, the things in there, and when I talk about priority, what are your, it isn't to reorder like priorities 1, 2s, and 3s, but it's just, I'll just give you an example, I've heard this piece of input, so I'm just offering it as an example, is, you know, are we focusing enough on that dual emphasis of all kids, you know, raising the bar for all kids, and is there that concomitant focus on eliminating the gap? And so that's what I mean more about a priority. Is that strong enough in the plan would be a priority area. I never thought it meant that things in the plan would come out under the with the exception that if there was something that was unclear, let's make it more clear. If there's something that you don't agree with, then that's understandable how that would come out. But it's really to try to come to the a conclusion tonight about, you know, what is most important to you as individual board members and collectively as board members, and then we'll work the final plan proposal not to take things out. They may become less of a priority.
Can I just ask a clarification question? When you're talking about the elements of the plan, are you talking about the strategic priorities or the specific actions? Does it encompass the specific action steps?
It can encompass the specific action steps, and it should if there's something that really represents an area of priority focus. But mainly it's around at that level of strategic objectives is, I think, where the focus could mainly be around those priorities. I don't want, my goal is not to restrict your conversation. Please don't read it that way. But it's trying to look at those big picture pieces that really kind of represent really important areas of focus going forward. And if that ties to a specific action plan, you should speak to it.
Yeah. How does the board want to proceed? How would you prefer to do this? Thank you. All right, Maya, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to have a discussion on strategic objectives in general and how, excuse me, and how each of these objectives, I mean, this is kind of my approach, so I'm not saying we have to go with this, but one of my approaches was to go through each of the objectives and see how they, each objective addressed our challenges and the advantages that the district has. One thing that came out in some of my reading was understanding whether our district has core competencies. So do we have the staff and the experience to take on some of this stuff? And also, one thing that I think I mentioned before in my questions was, well, two things. One is, how do we go about balancing the needs of all stakeholders? And that kind of gets to this whole question that we've been talking about. How do we reference all children? How do we meet the needs of all kids? And the other one is just making sure that these objectives balance kind of our long-term opportunities, you know, that there's short-term and long-term opportunities, and that we kind of keep that in focus. So my other concern, of course, always is this sustainable? A lot of this, you know, and I'm speaking vague right now because I'm trying to stay up and figure out how we go about starting the conversation, but that's where I'm looking at right now.
Why don't each of us make an introductory statement about their thoughts on this, and then we will get down to specifics with limited time to discuss each issue. I think that's probably the most organized way to do it. Is that how you feel? Let me hear from you.
Well, I was wondering if we were, I thought tonight we were going to talk about the mission statement, beliefs, and parameters.
All right.
As well. And to me, I don't know if I just speak for myself, I think that might be something that might go a little bit more quickly because it seems, I understand there's more of a consensus with that. So that's just a suggestion.
Okay. So shall I make the motion that's recommended for tonight, which is that we approve and we can then open it up for discussion? Does that seem reasonable? It is recommended that the board approve the following components of the MMSD strategic plan dated June 15, 2009, the mission statement, the belief statements, and the parameters.
Second.
Would you
I move. I so move.
Second.
Second?
Yes.
Yep. Discussion.
Ms.
Lucy,
Pastor,
then Ms. Silvera.
Could we take those one by one rather than doing them as one lump motion? I mean, because what I have to say and my thoughts on them are different for each piece of those.
Okay.
It's not that I disagree with any of them. It's just they're very different pieces of the document.
Well, the motion can stand, and we can discuss specific issues to that.
Does that seem reasonable?
Well, the problem is...
We'll talk about beliefs first, Ms. Bethiak.
Or mission statement first.
Or the mission statement first. How does that sound?
I'm just trying to figure out a process for...
One option that would exist would be to propose a an amendment to the motion that says... proposing to amend the motion to consider approval of solely the mission statement at this time. And then...
All right. Okay. Fine. Second?
A board member needs to make the motion besides myself.
I'll make a friendly amendment. I move that we approve the mission statement of the strategic plan.
Second?
Okay. So you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Any objection from any board member? Okay.
All right. Let's begin our discussion, please. Mission statement. Do you want it read? Our mission statement, our mission is to cultivate the potential in every student to thrive as a global citizen by inspiring a love of learning and civic engagement, by challenging and supporting every student to achieve academic excellence, and by embracing the full richness and diversity of our community. All right. To me, this is how we're going to go about doing it. So,
I just have a brief comment. I was in the room when the group was talking about thrive versus other words that could be used for the word thrive, and it was a very long process, and it was very thoughtful, very thorough. People had out their iPhones with dictionaries and thesaurus, and everyone talked about every single word, and I would support it as it is, because I think it was about a day and a half of work on the part of 50 people. So,
Ms. Silvera?
I also heard some of the discussion at the strategic plan, with the strategic planning group on the mission statement, and they certainly did put a lot of time and a lot of thought, and there was a lot of discussion in developing the mission statement. I think it serves its purpose. I think it is clear and concise. It embraces many different things, and I would support it as well.
There was some discussion at the group about, you know, what a mission statement is supposed to be and how long it's supposed to be, and some views were expressed that it should be small enough to fit on a business card or no more than 15 words or something. But I think that with our group and with our district and all the matters that we felt it was important to include, this was as concise as the group could get, and I don't think that we could, we would lose, I think, the real sense of the balance that was sought to be achieved through the statement if we tried to modify it or rearrange it in some way. So I'm happy to support it as it is.
So I could just offer one comment relative to that. Oftentimes what organizations will do following a revision of a mission statement will be to develop a tagline, mm-hmm, that is that 5 to 6 word that is capturing the essence of that statement.
Right.
And oftentimes that can, you know, that be put on a lot of our literature. That's something for down the road, but that's another step that we could take,
yeah,
that captures the mission statement as it is, but also allows to communicate it through that tagline.
Very good.
You know, there are several words in here that actually work for that. Cultivate, thrive, inspiring, love of learning, engagement, challenges,
right,
supporting, and so
right,
there are some really good key words in there that get to the heart of the whole learning process. Any other thoughts on the matter? Ms. Cole?
Yeah, I just want to echo that I feel that this mission statement is very clear and concise, and I had written some things down when the strategic plan was first given to us, and I think these were stated by the superintendent. We were talking about, I think it was love of learning, and there was a comment that it was very emotion-laden and that that was a good thing. And I think that the mission statement is reflective of the community that we live in, and it is a good thing. And the other is that talking about global citizenship and civic engagement are really embracing that idea that it's reflective of our time, which is something else that you said. And I just want to thank you for really crystallizing that, because I think it makes this mission statement very strong that that you were able to come up with that so quickly, and it resonates with me as a board member. So I will be supporting this as it is. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? 7-0, passed. All right.
May we read it at our August meeting?
You bet. It's yours now.
You want to do the release statement?
It's
ours.
I move that we approve the belief statements as set forth in the strategic plan.
Second.
We can discuss this. Belief statements are formal expressions of the organization's fundamental values. The statements that are included in our belief statements reflect the collective values of members of the Strategic Planning Committee as representatives of our organization and community. We have 8 belief statements. I guess, why don't I just read them so we know what we're talking about. First is, we believe that excellent public education is necessary for ensuring a democratic society. 2, we believe in the abilities of every individual in our community and the value of their life experiences. 3, we believe in an inclusive community in which all have the right to contribute. 4, we believe we have a collective responsibility to create and sustain a safe environment that is respectful, engaging, vibrant, and culturally responsive. 5, we believe that every individual can learn and will grow as a learner. 6, we believe in continuous improvement informed by critical evaluation and reflection. 7, we believe that resources are critical to education and we are responsible for their equitable and effective use. And finally, 8, we believe in culturally relevant education that provides the knowledge and skills to meet the global challenges and opportunities of the 21st century. Again, these belief statements were put together by a subcommittee of the Strategic Planning Committee and worked on it quite a bit and came back to the whole group seeking to get consensus on the individual statements, and consensus was gradually arrived at one by one, and some took more work than others, and eventually we came to these 8, which everyone was happy to support on a consensus basis. So I would hope that we would be able to endorse the statements that are set forth. Any discussion? Well, hearing none, we can proceed directly to a vote. All in favor of supporting the or endorsing the belief statements set forth in the strategic plan, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes 7-0. Back to Ms. Pascoe.
All right. I move that we accept the parameters as listed in the strategic plan. The second?
Second.
Okay. Parameters. The purpose of creating parameters is to place self-determined ground rules and limitations on the district. As such, they sharpen and clarify the district's mission. Parameters reflect how we will do our work and help to create and sustain the culture in which the district, its students, staff, parents, community, and Board of Education work. They are the boundaries in which we will operate. Now, do you want me to read them all? Okay. 1, the district's highest priority is to create and sustain a learning environment that enables all students to maximize their potential. All individuals are treated with dignity and respect. Expectations are high and clear for all. Community input is valued and actively sought. Families, schools, businesses, organizations, and communities work as partners. Communication is timely and accessible. Data informs decisions.
decision-making process are transparent. The district's culture is one of accountability for work, actions, and results. Research-based practices guide instruction. A culture of creativity and innovation is nurtured. Leadership and collaboration are fostered at all levels. Our practices are held to an environmentally ethical standard. Discussion. Yes?
I had asked, actually, before, in terms of the environmentally ethical standard, number one, what is that? I mean, I think I know what it is, but in essence, kind of who sets the standard and, you know, where does it come from?
If I could respond, that was an interesting discussion that the group had very near the end of creating the parameters. I think it was a realization that we didn't have any statement that kind of reflected our stewardship responsibility around environmental and issues of sustainability. So this is as far as that discussion has gone through the strategic plan. In other words, there hasn't been that criteria set. But one of the things I can tell you coming is we've begun some discussion with some community partners around the district's involvement with sustainability issues. And I think that can be, going forward, the way we can frame this conversation up much more clearly and with more definition than what's here. I think this is the commitment to behave in this manner. Now we have to come back with plans, and I think that sustainability work can define, so what do we mean by that? Because we don't have it yet.
Thank you.
You bet.
Any other discussion? Ms. Silvera?
When we first received the draft of the mission, belief, and parameters, and I read through it, I was very positive, but I thought maybe I was somewhat biased because I had been part or listened to some of the discussions. And so I actually sent out the parameters and the same for the belief statements out to a number of different groups of people and basically said, what do you think? And all of the responses that I got were very positive. And people understood. People supported and they thought it was a comprehensive list. So I felt good that, you know, the group had come up with things that were easily understood in the community, and I appreciated that.
Ms. Moss?
I was wondering if we had parameters actually in our last strategic plan, because this Appendix D has the beliefs from the previous plan. Did we have?
I don't believe we did.
Okay, because I think it's a great idea. It gives the board and the administration a framework
right
within which to work, and I think that they do very well at reflecting our community, and I would support them as they are. I think everything is very well there, and I like the fact that they are concise and cover pretty much everything. So.
You can see how some of these came back into the action plan, though, too, because they had to refer back to this. Not entirely, but in many cases, a lot of this is incorporated back into the action plan. Any other comments?
If I could just offer... not a comment about the words here, but this list will become a critically important list as we forge ahead and talk about issues of culture within the school district. You know, I will be sharing these with our district leadership team and asking in turn that they're sharing and talking about these ground rules, our culture, with all the staffs within the district. Because, yes, it's important that the board and superintendent are cognizant of the manner in which we do this work and reflecting in our behavior, through our behavior. But this really doesn't become an organizational change from my perspective until we really embed it in every aspect of culture within the district. So I'm just telling you as a kind of next step kind of piece, that's where I'll go with it.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed 7-0.
Okay, the next part of the plan is the strategic objectives. And those strategic objectives are set forth primarily on page 2 of the document that we have. Well, before I get started, let me just, I move that the board approve the strategic objectives as outlined in the MMSD strategic plan dated June 15th, 2009. Is there a second? Thank you. We can move to discussion.
Can I make a friendly amendment?
Sure.
That we do them like we broke the beliefs, parameters, and mission apart, and that we do them individually?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Do I make that as a motion?
Pardon?
I was just asking you if I had to say that differently.
It's
friendly.
Yeah, I take as your friendly amendment that the amendment that I expressed would be broken down into subparts, the first of which would be that we endorse the student strategic objective as set forth in the strategic plan. Is that?
Yeah, and do so five separate votes.
Right. Okay.
Is that right?
And we have a second for that?
Second.
Let me just give you a little background on how we got to these, how the committee got to these strategic objectives. How the process worked was all the members of the committee had the opportunity to identify what they thought were critical problems facing the district, and those were all written up on charts around the room. Then we were each given a specific number of little dots that we could use to express the extent to which we agreed as to the critical nature of the particular issue that had been identified. And we went through that process, and you could use up your dots however you want by applying as many as you wanted to whichever issue was identified, so you could rank them both in order and by the strength of your preference. Once that process was completed, then there was a tally as to which of the issues were most important to the group, and so they were ranked from in rank order based on that. And then a group undertook the task of trying to take those particular issues that had been identified and break them up into particular subject areas. And what the group came up with was the five strategic objective areas that have been identified: student, curriculum, staff, resource capacity, and organization systems. So each of the issues that had been identified were assigned to one of those five categories. And then groups, the whole committee was broken up into five groups. Each of the groups worked on one of those areas. And in light of the particular problems that had been identified that fell within that area, came up with a statement of the strategic objective that was meant to be an umbrella sort of statement for those that group of issues. And these particular statements of strategic objectives were the result of that process. Once again, it was a consensus-driven process, and once a particular group came up with their statement, then they presented it to the group as a whole, and the group as a whole eventually signed off on it. So that's how we came up with these five, and then from that point, action teams were developed that sought to implement particular action steps that would carry out the strategic goals. So that's a little background on how these strategic objectives came about. The first one we're talking about is the student strategic objective, which is we will eliminate the achievement gap by ensuring that all students reach their highest potential. To do this, we will prepare every student for kindergarten, create meaningful student-adult relationships, and provide student-centered programs and supports that lead to prepared graduates. And then there were action plans identified that entailed achievement for all students, relationships, and transitions. Ms. Silvera.
A clarification question and then a comment. So if we approve any of these strategic objectives, that does, we're not necessarily approving the bullets underneath?
The bullets underneath really reflect the action plans that were developed, you know, so the structure is consistent as you turn into the action plans. And so I think it would be fine to develop, you know, approvals with understanding that the bullet points didn't connect to the objectives, they connect to the action plans.
Okay, that would be.
So we're not specifically endorsing the statements of the action plan, simply the statement of the objective itself.
Thanks.
Without the bullets.
Without the bullets.
Thanks. Right. And then I have a comment. I don't want to get into changing the intent of any of these, but I think people have probably noticed that we've had some communication from the community recently focused on this one. Without changing the intent, but changing the order of the words to make it a little bit stronger. Starting off with, we will ensure that all students reach their highest potential, then go through the rest of it and ending up, and so eliminate the achievement gap, and it probably needs a little bit of fine-tuning in there. But I think with the emphasis, which the flipping or the changing of the a couple of the clauses in there puts the emphasis on all students, and I don't believe it changes the intent of the strategic objective.
Are you proposing a friendly amendment?
Well, I just wanted to throw that out. I talked to the superintendent a little bit about that.
And I'm certainly aware that there was input on that point, very consistent with how Ms. Silvera described that. Let me just kind of frame up, you know, the conversations as I've heard them, and what my bias and beliefs are as your superintendent. I mean, in many ways, even though the strategic objective 5 was grounded in this tension. Discussion about that balance between meeting the needs of all kids, meeting the needs of some kids. Can we, in fact, focus on all kids, which is obviously my very strong bias and need going forward. But in many ways, it also becomes part of the dialogue and discussion under number 1, because it's that, you know, balance between ensuring that all kids' development is advanced and that we're also focusing on groups of kids that are furthest away from meeting our standards. You know, that is not too different, and it's very similar to that, I would say, that tension discussion that really centered on that 5th strategy. Having said that, I think there are concerns on both sides of that tension point, and then I'll offer my perspective. What I'm understanding is, is there, in fact, a commitment to focus on all kids and their development? Do we really mean that? And then there's also the focus of, boy, if our achievement gap issues are so significant, you know, how do we make sure that that's proclaimed with enough strength? And so I think that's an interesting discussion to look at that order. My own bias has always been that we need to be with a dual focus, and that is ensuring advancing the development of all kids while we're eliminating achievement gaps, not either or. It gets difficult, obviously, when you get into real resource kinds of discussions as to how you do that as a school district. So having said that, I'll just go one step further. consistent with what Ms. Silvera said, and I was playing around with this as well. And it's very similar to what I heard Arlene suggest. I think what's important as that's going around, understanding, I just offer that as based on what I've heard, is that it's really important as you focus in on your discussion, that it's really understood that this is all kids and it's also some kids. It's all kids ensuring that their highest potential is reached, and it's those kids that are furthest away from our standards, the achievement gap related issues. So that's the spirit in which I offer this, understanding that I know there are groups on both sides within our community that want us to pay more attention to one part of that. But having said that, I think this statement or the statement that you offered, Arlene, is an attempt to balance all of that.
Would you read yours out loud?
Sure. What it says, we will ensure, and I'm choosing words specifically here, and I'm also trying to honor the words that were in the original statement. So I'm trying to carry forward the commitment. So we will ensure that all students, so key there is the word all, students reach their highest potential, and that's a key word, as we go forward as an organization, that I know it's only three letters, but it's really the key part of this statement, and we will eliminate achievement gaps for certain groups of students. And then the second sentence is verbatim out of the original strategy.
I'm sorry. Pavlov, Doug's. Whoever's cheering.
And Ms. Mathias?
Hello. First of all, I want to thank both of you for the thinking that you've done on this topic, because it's amazing how much better I feel about the students' part with that simple change in ordering. Because I think it's not either or, it's and.
Right.
And I think one of the challenges for us as a board and for you as a district leader and for your leadership team is to move beyond what has traditionally been done to pit people against each
right.
other and say, how can we do this for all of our students?
Right.
As I looked at the plan and you know, what I worked with very heavily as I reviewed the plan were the critical issues that were articulated on page 28. And what struck me were the number one and number two issues because of the number of times that they were articulated. To me, that said something. And sort of, I know a lot of things happen during the process and then you get something back. But what that said to me is that there was a lot of strength and energy around those two particular issues. They also resonate with me because they also align with the survey results that we got with families who have left the district who we would very much like to have come back. And there are two pieces. One is the issue of the achievement gap, but the other is looking at all of our students, and there's a phrase in there that I would also like to add to this formulation you've given us, because I think it's part of how we do this, and it's the phrase, raise the bar for all students.
Mm-hmm.
Raise the bar for all
right.
students. It resonates with me on many levels, in part because, I've said this many, many times, but it was a very powerful moment when the group of parents of African American students who were meeting with the principal at East were asked, what is it that you want? And there were a lot of things they could have said. We could have said, we want our children to be safe. We want them to not be called nigger and slapped around by white kids. But that's not what people said. To a person, the answer was, we want you to raise the bar and your expectations for our children. So if we could add that one phrase in there, I would think it would be even better. But I think that this bridges a lot and challenges us as you and your staff bring things back to us to say, does this do that? Does this
right.
meet that?
Right.
You know, so we stop playing either or.
Right.
And we get to what we, I think, all want for these
right.
kids.
Lucy, could you just identify what those two top issues were that you were referring to? So we
On page 25 of the strategic plan document, it's the rank order of critical issues. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking. That's why I'm screwing
up.
I'm looking at a PDF, and that's why my numbers are off. So the first issue is the achievement gap. The second issue, and that one was identified as a priority. The achievement gap was ranked number one, and it was identified 76 times as a priority issue. The second issue was, what I've really struggled with this because of the way that this has been discussed, but the tension to meet the needs of all students. And there's a line in there, raise the bar for all. And that was identified as a priority issue 65 times.
Lucy, as I understand your suggestion, it would be that the strategic objective would be, well, let me suggest this. We will ensure that all students reach their highest potential, and we will eliminate the achievement gap and raise the bar for all students?
That would work for me.
Is that acceptable? I'm a little uncomfortable with saying for certain groups of students because it sounds exclusive.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I would say on that point is there's no attempt to be exclusive, but if we're going to be about confronting the brutal facts, the achievement gaps are about certain groups of kids. And so, I mean, and that's the value of the data dive and the disaggregation of the data. That's what I'm intending to assert here. And it's based on a belief that I have. And, I can work with your words. I'm very comfortable with that. But just so I'm heard on the point, and that is that we have to be bold about expressing our achievement. We cannot mask those issues if we're ever going to resolve those gaps.
I understand that, but I also sort of agree with what Ed had said. I sort of saw certain groups of students, and my mind immediately went to those students, those people. And I don't think we want to. There's just something that doesn't work for me. What I would be comfortable doing is to have it say we will ensure that all students reach their highest potential and we will eliminate eliminate achievement gaps, period. To do this, we will prepare every student for kindergarten, raise the bar for all students, create meaningful and through the rest. So where raise the bar for all students gets put is down the row.
That's fine.
Does it water it down if you don't say who you're really trying to market? I mean, I guess I throw that out too.
Yeah, my response is everyone knows what the achievement gap is. I mean, it isn't like there's.
But the.
I'm sorry.
One sec. Well.
It's cold.
I'll respond to Johnny's. When I heard certain groups of students, and I like this statement, I like the fact that. We are being very positive. I think we need to have a statement that says all students are going to reach their highest potential. I think certain groups of students, this is what I hear, is that we associate achievement gaps with minority students. And what we don't do is recognize that a certain percentage of minority students, low-income students, whoever we're talking about, are talented and gifted, are, that they're not getting those services. It's not just achievement gaps. I also think that that we do have a focus in this day and age. We know where the achievement gaps are, and that I think our community does as well. So for me, this is a statement that we want the system to operate under, and the system needs to know, based on this community input, that we are going to address the tension that has existed, not so much separating them again and trying to wordsmith around those different groups, but that we need to do this together. And that's where I do agree with the superintendent that we need to be walking down a pathway where we are not going to separate these groups anymore, or any kids anymore, that we're doing this together, that every kid deserves to reach their highest potential in this district.
There was one other thing, and that's just that I think by putting the students first, and that you have such a positive statement that they can reach their highest potential, is really a strong message to send to the community and to students and to parents. And it also kind of influences your actions that will be hopefully in our staff, in everyone's mind when we first make that statement. And I would hesitate to start defining achievement gaps on this kind of document with those words, certain groups of students. I would rather have it the way it was presented before.
Mr. Winston?
Well, again, what I don't want to have happen is that, in essence, we water it down, or that we are just, I think we got to get specific. I mean, the bottom line is that there is an achievement gap, and it's very clear. And if you look at the data, it's clear. So somehow, some way, I don't know, I wanted to do what Ms. Passman has suggested, not sit up here and wordsmith, but if somebody can offer something that, in essence, creates the vision that, you know, we are. You know, we know that there's certain, and maybe, again, certain groups is, I don't know. I'm not going to say that's heavy-handed or anything like that. But again, it's a true life issue right there. And I think if we're going to tackle it head on, then we got to say it head on. And then we have to live it head on.
Ms. Moss?
Yeah, I think my first reaction to certain groups of students, I felt kind of defensive. But But I agree with Mr. Winston that I think we need something more than just eliminate achievement gap, because there are achievement gap, there are several groups of kids who are underperforming. So I was thinking achievement gap between higher and underperforming students, or instead of certain groups, just somehow describe, because I think underperforming is really, that's a large group of students. We have our ELL students, we have our students of color, we have our disabled students. A lot of kids are underperforming. Certain groups, it does kind of, it's really, I think it's kind of harsh, but at the same time it is descriptive. I mean, that's, I'm not sure I like the certain groups, but I think for me the words underperforming, it gives hope, like there is a possibility, they can perform, but they're just not being given the opportunity, or the, I don't know. This.
Can I give some background on that? When we were meeting all together, these lists came up and we had to choose, more people than not, achievement gap came out completely. That's what they heard. That's what's been in the papers. That's what they read about. A few less people realized that it created attention, and they felt that that should be next. Some of them wanted it to actually be first, but most people heard achievement gap and voted for that. Then came the tension problem. So it's something that they wanted, was the term achievement gap. It was very specifically used. And our problem here was that was fine for some, but we needed to be more inclusive in what we're talking about. And so I love the fact that we will ensure the full potential for all students. I love the fact that we're going to raise the bar. I'm not sure we should eliminate the term achievement gap.
I wasn't talking about this. I was
you wanted to even get more specific.
I was talking about certain groups of students as being higher performing, underperforming.
Yeah, but then we start getting into who we're going to leave out there and what group, and that's the only thing.
Trying to offer some ideas for your consideration, and there are other words that could accomplish the same thing. But if there's still a desire to put something beyond the word gaps, and maybe there isn't. It could be, here's just a couple of options for you to think about. Could be where they exist. So that's true. And then another option would be for achievement gap for students not meeting standards.
Mm, I like that.
I like the way they exist.
I mean, so those are just a couple.
I would like to make a comment based on what I remember from the discussions of the group. And there was the view was expressed very articulately and very strongly that this is what would happen. The real problem is an achievement gap with African-American kids who are not performing, and that was going to get watered down and that was going to get missed, and instead we were going to end up with the statement that said, you know, we're going to make sure all kids perform and raise the level of expectations for everyone and lose the particular focus on the achievement gap is one of, whether you want to describe it as African-American kids or kids of color, that's the issue that was the primary focus of the folks in the group. So I'm happy with saying the achievement gap. I'm happy with saying the achievement gap for students of color. I'm happy for saying the achievement gap for African-American students, but I think that we are not honoring the work of the committee if we kind of go away from that very specific concept in one direction or another.
Right.
So
I was gonna say, can you list where, I mean, I think that might be long-winded. You know, I like the words where they exist. I think that kind of makes it a little more succinct. But I want to make sure that, again, that this is not something. I agree with the group. I don't want to water this down. There's a real issue here, and this is what you're saying that you're trying to do.
Ms. Mathai, followed by Ms. Cole.
I understand that concern. On the other hand, I have to tell you, I really struggle with the notion that we peg any particular group for two reasons. One is I don't want students of color walking into our schools and the first thing people say is, oh, here comes the achievement gap. The way that entire thing has been framed going back to the original articles has completely missed that we have students of color who are high achievers and very, very capable, and I think we see that we don't necessarily even serve and identify all of the students who could be doing a lot more because we just don't. So I don't want... you know, it just bothers me greatly. Yes, there are some groups, but do I care only about African-American students? No. Do I care only about students of color? No. I care about each and every student who is behind. If we commit to addressing the achievement gap, we are de facto committing to addressing the needs of many students of color, but also many students who are white and living below the poverty line, and students of middle class and affluent families who live in neglect. I mean, there's just lots of things that we're addressing. But as a board member in the 21st century, I don't see how we say only African American students or only whichever group. I like the formulation of it. We will eliminate achievement gaps where they exist. Period.
Ms. Cole? How about Ms. Bassman?
Yeah, I think the two suggestions that the superintendent had read, where they exist, and could you repeat the second one?
The other one, and I offer them as either or.
Yeah.
For students not meeting standards.
Yeah, for me, that seems to really focus in on what we're trying to get done. And I agree with Ms. Mathiak. I think that the achievement gap, you know, it's interesting. I'm not sure. I wasn't there at the meeting when they decided on the critical issues. But it has been in the media a lot. And it's a way to encompass many different ideas or experiences of frustration, I think, for many people to pinpoint it. And I say that because this isn't just a gap about our African-American students. This is also very complex and complicated and deals with things like being culturally responsive and having the wherewithal as a district that's predominantly white females that are culturally responsive. And that's not something that is easy to learn in a school of education. You know, likewise, we had this equity task force. And, you know, if it showed me anything, it's that every allocation decision, you know, that you have to have a focus of some sort to decide where you're going to allocate funds. And I think we've moved in that direction of being equitable and thinking about things outside of the system. So I guess that said, I just, I think that I am convinced that we won't lose our focus and that that the original statement, you know, I'm comfortable with just taking the highest potential piece of that first sentence and switching it and, you know, raising the bar was actually in the document. I don't know who wrote that, but it was on page 22 of the identification of critical issues. So it's very reflective of what I assume was being talked about at the time. The community was there, and I also think that we're a board that has a long way to go on this plan. So there's many opportunities for us to really highlight and focus where we want to go.
Ms. Passman?
Yeah, I think it's,
Ms. Silvera?
I think it's just something like this. We will ensure that all students reach their highest potential, and we will eliminate achievement gaps where they exist by raising the bar for all. To do this, and then the last sentence.
Ms. Silvera?
Yeah, I wanted to thank you, Mr. Hughes, for relaying some of the thoughts of the group as they were debating this, and I understand the concern about being watered down. And if you go back to what the group approved, they basically just talk about the achievement gap, and so they don't get descriptive. So I don't feel like we're taking things. I think we've kind of morphed into it's almost sounding like we're de-emphasizing, but we're actually reflecting what was in the document that came. I do like the where they exist. I think that strengthens it, but again, just we will eliminate the achievement gap are the words that came to us from the group that had this large discussion, so I feel comfortable with that.
All right, Superintendent?
I have two comments. One was very much in line with what Ms. Silvera just stated, realizing as I was listening to your conversation that language for certain groups of kids was the liberty that I took, because that isn't, in fact, the wording that was in the plan. And it was simply based on a bias as I thought about it, about the need to be bold, and I don't think you need those words in order to express that. It can be done in other ways. I just want to offer one other idea on the raising the bar piece. I will have some alternative language for you for one other strategy, the next one. I don't for others, just to, so you understand where I'm going with trying to offer ideas. But one other thought would be, because the idea of raising the bar, for me, it's not restrictive to this, but it mainly comes in what we do through the curriculum standards and ensuring high-level learning for all kids, higher-level learning for all kids, is that it could also, that piece of it, and I'm comfortable either way, so it's not a big deal for me, but I'm just offering you an alternative. It could be under that second strategy under F, and I'll show you some different language in a while when you get to that point on that strategy, rigor / raising the bar, because that's really kind of the manifestation of rigor through the curriculum. I mean, that's the place where that would become operationalized, from my perspective, is in the coursework and what we offer kids through the curriculum.
Ms. Mathag?
I appreciate it. I have to say I've been heatedly ambivalent about where that would go, and so for just sort of for what it's worth, I sort of think in my own mind it's a piece that belongs in both, in some sense, because it's the issue of what do we expect of our students, what do we communicate to our students about our expectations that I'm feeling for the first one on students. And then there's what do we do about it? What do we deliver in terms of our curriculum?
Sure.
And so that's just sort of what I'm thinking. And beyond that, I'm just heatedly ambivalent.
Well, can I suggest that we consider, I think where we are is with a strategic objective that states we will ensure that all students reach their highest potential, and we will eliminate achievement gaps where they exist. To do this, we will prepare every student for kindergarten, raise the bar for all students, create meaningful student-adult relationships, and provide student-centered programs and supports that lead to prepared graduates.
Fine.
I would propose that we vote on that.
That's right.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have a motion and a second on the table. There's been a difference, certainly, of opinion on how the wording ought to go. So I think what you've got is an amendment to the motion.
We vote on this.
That would be a second. That would need a second.
Well, we could also consider it a friendly amendment.
Or a substitute motion. Go with the substitute.
Without objection, I think that's fine, as long as there's no
that's
objection.
Fine. Yeah, we don't care. You know us.
All right, there's a substitute.
Is that you just made it?
Yes, I move that we adopt as the student strategic objective the statement I made.
Second.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate Ms. Mathiak's comment about expectations, and I think that that's one thing that in the curriculum section or the curriculum objective that I didn't really see those exact words, high expectations for all students, and I think that that's just, that is across the board, curriculum, climate, behavior, everything. So I think that raising the bar, I would love to see it in both places. High expectations, raising the bar, because I just think that that's probably one of the most important things we can instill in our staff and our students.
Okay. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. No. And it passes 6-1.
Could you
say no? Yeah, I think it should have the,
Why did you say that?
Well, I should explain my vote, because I think I believe that in reflecting the view of the committee, there was a belief that the achievement gap is a specific African-American achievement issue, and that should be reflected in the strategic goal. Well, that's my recommendation.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Well, that's why I voted
I'll tell you, I appreciate you saying that, but one of the reasons why I didn't vote for that, because, again, when the original motion came in front of the board, it didn't have those specifics to it. But I do believe that, again, where it says where they exist, okay, well, now we're at least on the path. I still do believe we need to have some teeth behind this, and we can't hide behind just our wording. There has to be action behind it, and we have to tell people, yes, we do have an achievement gap, and it does. It, when we look at the data, African-American students are behind. So I guess if we're not going to put it here in this part, the action steps do have to, it does have to manifest itself in the action steps, in the action plans. I mean, we just, and I understand maybe there's people who are a bit afraid out there, that if, you know, you start being specific, then you target kids, and that you, you know, you're thinking that maybe kids are, you know, you're branding them before they walk through the door. Well, bottom line is that's happening right now, right now, and it's happened for a long time. So going forward, the actions will speak louder than words, and we do have to, it does have to be specific when it comes down to those action plans.
Okay,
it does.
I'm persuaded, and I think it's important to be unanimous, so I will change my vote to aye. I made my point, and then I retreated from it.
Thank you. Thank you for piloting that.
Ms. Mathiak?
Mr. Winston, I actually, what I have to say actually applies to you because I know.
Go ahead.
I want the audience to know. Mr. Winston's on call. That's why he is popping up and down. He's not disinterested.
Well, it just, it seems to me, I mean, I very much appreciate the sentiment that you just expressed, and I would also say back to you that as co-chair of the Education Committee, you are in a very powerful position to do exactly what you just said by the way that you form agendas and the issues that come before your committee. There's what the superintendent and his staff do, but there's also the role that our committees can play in leadership and in making sure that things come forward. You know, it may be that there are things that could happen now that don't have to wait until we've voted on an action plan. We did not need to have a formal action plan to vote to ask human resources to come back to us with some ideas for how we can improve our hiring for diversity, for example. You know, I'm just saying that you're right, and I would very much be excited if you and Ms. Cole, or you by yourself, or however you want to do it, can bring something forward in that committee that would help us to move.
Lucy, no. This document right here is the strategic plan of the district. Bottom line, it is what we're going to live and what we're going to breathe for a very long time, hopefully. I'm hopeful that this document gets taken with what the superintendent has said that he was going to do with his staff on a day-to-day basis. We have talked about these issues for much too long, for years and years and years. Now is the time to stop talking about these issues and start acting upon them. I'm not going to sit in a committee and talk about this stuff over and over and over again. I'm not. And I don't think very many people in this community want to continue to do that and have a debate. It's not a debate. Bottom line is that we have kids in our district that are struggling. And when we look at words and we say, well, where they exist, well, you know, I can go for that. Fine. But I don't think anybody who sends their kids to the Madison Metropolitan School District, including myself, who will be sending a child to this district, I expect that the bar is going to be set high. I expect that my child is going to come home and they're going to learn something. I expect that they're going to be treated fair. I don't want to talk about that stuff in committee. I want it to be lived and breathed every single day by every employee of this district. And that's what this strategic plan is supposed to be doing. So I'm not going to talk about it in committee. We're going to do it. And if people don't, well, obviously there's a lot of people in this district that have options. But the kids and the people who are in this district, this plan has to represent what we do every single day.
Okay,
that's my two cents.
Thank you. No, I would say it's much higher than that. Thank you very much, Mr. Winston. We have four more items to go. We're working on to curriculum now. Curriculum says we will revolutionize the educational model to engage and support all students in a comprehensive participatory educational experience defined by rigorous, culturally relevant, and accelerated learning opportunities where authentic assessment is paired with flexible instruction. This would consist of, now, do we want to go into those?
No.
Okay, I think not. Let's, all right, open to, I move that we accept the curriculum statement as it is in the strategic plan. I have a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion. Ms. Silvera. I'm sorry. Superintendent, did you want to say something?
No, I think it's appropriate that I listen to your discussion first, knowing that I have some thought. No, that I have some
I
thoughts for you, but I want to make sure that
I was going to say that I'm interested in your thoughts.
Right.
If you go back to
many of the first round of comments or questions that came from the board, I think there was confusion about what this was trying to say.
Right.
So personally speaking, I'm not sure I agree with it, because I don't truly know if I understand it with all the words in there as written.
Okay. Yes, please.
Well, you know, that's the spirit in which I looked at this strategy, you know, that, you know, I had received a lot of input, as I think you did too, in terms of the jargon that is referred to in the statement, and really coming down to what do these concepts mean. The overarching theme is what we do with our curriculum instruction and assessment practices to improve student outcomes. And so here's what I did in trying to think about the concerns that were expressed. I'm trying to find words that are understandable, and so that was one goal. And the other goal, I was trying to be loyal to the structure that was created. And yet there are a little bit of change in it as well. So let me walk through what this option, no, the structure of 1 through 6. Or here it shows it as A through F. Yeah. Okay, if you look at the current statement, there is a powerful assertion there around change. But that term revolutionized, people wondered what that meant. It is referred to by certain writers in the field about, you know, second-order changes, big, bold changes that need to occur. And so I was trying to be true to that concept of change, and yet the change is really around curriculum instruction and assessment practices. So what I'm offering for your consideration is to improve academic outcomes for all students, and now I'm being true to some of the words that are in the existing statement, and to ensure student engagement and student support, we will strengthen comprehensive curriculum instruction and assessment systems in the district. So the change part is around strengthening the comprehensive nature of the curriculum, instruction practices, and assessment systems. Now, the reason why I wanted to show you, even though you had earlier decided not to focus on those bullet points, is to try to bring some clarity to what was in there. So number one, I haven't made changes there. It's honoring this notion of accelerating learning, you know, the pace of learning for kids. It's and you see that a lot written in both the literature for advanced learners as well as for achievement gap issues. It's accelerating the pace of instruction today, and it involves different approaches, obviously. The second one had previously been referred to as authentic assessment, and there were a lot of questions about what that meant. And we did provide there is a definition that I'm comfortable with in the strategic plan. But as I looked at it and had some conversation with staff, I really think what we're trying to arrive at here is a balanced system for assessment that has both traditional and non-traditional, formative and summative assessments. Summative like WKCE, formative maybe through some of the just-in-time assessments that are computer-based that many districts are using. So really there is a change there, not just to emphasize the authentic assessment environment, but it's a complete assessment environment, a balance between formative and summative student assessments. Cultural relevance is, it's just changed from culturally relevant to cultural relevance, so there isn't a big change there. The fourth one, where it said previously flexible instruction, I'm offering that as flexible approaches to student learning, because it may be in instruction itself, but it also may be in program opportunities that are different than what we have right now over time. The current language on E is participatory education, and there were a lot of questions as to really what was meant there. And we kind of peeled that back. Really what we're trying to get at, I believe the strategic plan was emphasizing a combination of enhancing student voice within the district as well as engaging students in civic life through service learning. Now, there may be other ways to say that. And then finally, rigor, and this would be another place to add that terminology on raising the bar. So I went a step further here with these 1 through 6 or A through F because I wanted to bring some greater clarity in what was there and also to be consistent where you see, like in B under the current model, authentic assessment, there still is a need to improve our assessment system, but it's through this balanced assessment approach. It's not, because I think one of the concerns is favoring one type of assessment that we're doing very little of over other types of assessments. And so this is this whole notion of assessment for learning, which is formative, assessment of learning, which is summative. We don't need to get into more jargon, but that's what I'm meaning here with this. So that's what I offer. And again, the main goal, main reason for doing this one, and this is the last one I have for your consideration, is because of people are asking a lot of questions, what do these terms mean?
Ms. Moss.
I was wondering if alignment to standards came up in the curriculum, because that's not on any of these six, and it's not in the kind of the objective. Did that come up in the discussion with the group?
I don't recall it came up in the original group. It may have come up in the on the action team.
It did come in the action team. I'm seeing our co-chairs assert that. Mm. It did come there.
Okay. And was there a reason why that wasn't considered to be one of the top priorities?
Here's what I would argue. The reason why I didn't change any of 1 through 6 is I was trying to be true to the committee structure. That's why I didn't do that. But it really fits under that term above, the comprehensive curriculum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is going to be some new work coming ahead with the America Diploma Project and some of the work that's the DPI is committing around, and it's very consistent with raising the bar concepts within the curriculum. So I think aligning to some of the new standards work that I know our new state superintendent is very committed to, and there's a national movement, you know, under the Secretary Duncan's initiative to do this work. I think it fits there. Now we have to make it real under the action plan, and maybe that's the place to make sure that we defining it well enough.
Okay, I just want to make sure that it's there in a kind of a. In a place that's very obvious, because I think that the average, well, a lot of parents out in the school district are now talking, they're starting to talk about standards, they're starting to understand more about standards, and I feel like that's a very, very important piece for us to educate parents and students and teachers about. So I guess, you know, I'm not going to suggest that we add it, but I do hope that that will play a big part in the action plans.
I'm not so sure that would be so bad. We're certainly including everything that they've talked about. Mm-hmm. We're not changing any statement that our community put together. And by adding, you know, a 7 is not terrible, I think, and we could get it in here as well as other places. I don't see anything wrong in that, actually. Ms. Mathiak?
Are we done with this? Because I don't want to cut off the discussion.
Yeah, go ahead. I have another question about something else.
Okay. I do think it would be good to at least acknowledge that there are identified standards. We don't have to make this up as we go along. There are some expectations that are also set for us. But there's one piece, and as I look at this, I'm not sure. This is another one. I'm heatedly ambivalent. Does it fit in 1 or 2? But when I look at that list of critical issues, which is, again, as I said, it's really influenced my thinking about what was on people's minds, one of the items that's ranked number 8 is a safe and welcoming environment. And again, when I look at the survey we did of people who have left the district, I just sort of did a word count. It's very crude because you could have the same word used by the same person 3 times. Nonetheless, the safe or safety-related words appear 71 times in that document. Bullying and bullied appear 24 times. There isn't anything in any of this that talks about safety for our students. And I'm wondering how we feel about that. Because it seems to me that feeling safe would have a lot to do with ability to learn. Mr. Hughes?
Mr. Hughes, sorry. That's all right. Let's just take turns tonight.
I think the safety and bullying aspect was meant to be included in the climate action step under organization and systems. I think the thinking was it wasn't strictly a curriculum issue. Curriculum is more with the learning, and it was more a system-wide organizational issue, and that's where it fit in. But people
with the climate.
With climate. So certainly people were aware of that and felt that it was important, but felt that that was the appropriate place for it to go.
Okay, I appreciate that. To be honest, because the word is never used in any of these, I would not have guessed that climate is what that was. So maybe when we get to that one, we can make that explicit.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Moss.
Okay, and also I have a question about authentic assessment. I know that that's something that the board has expressed that they're not that familiar with, but since it was one of the bullet points, was that something that the group as a whole understood and knew about, or where did the term authentic assessment come from? Was that from the committee?
I wasn't on that committee, so I'm not sure I know where that came from. I'm certain that the discussion was held about it. They asked, give us some examples, and this was brought up and discussed.
Okay.
Through that action
team. Oh, it was just action?
It's in the list of critical issues.
Yeah.
I remember one of the teachers on the committee really didn't want to talk about
it. It's in the list of critical issues. It's ranked number 18.
Right. That's right.
Four people. It was raised four times as a priority, which I found fascinating because I love counting things, but it actually shows up 24 times in the action plans that we got as opposed to raising the bar, which got one mention.
Okay.
So it's there in the critical issues on page 22. It's just...
Yeah, I was just curious why, if it was on the list, why everyone else there knew what it was, and most people don't, just...
You know, there's a whole variety of terms that are being used here, and this group selected this. It's a fair term to describe the new assessment environment, more of the formative assessments. But in the end, it's not an either-or. The reason why I chose to bring you balanced approaches, that should be plural, to assessment, was because it's not an either-or, it's a both-and. And I think the work in the action plan is constructive to move us in the direction we need to go in. I mean, I'm not suggesting changes to that at this point in time. I'm just saying the ultimate model has to be a system of balanced assessments.
Okay. And also, I do like the wording flexible approaches to student learning because I think that's more student-centered. So I do like that better than flexible instruction.
I was thinking more about if you're going to improve academic outcomes, children have to feel safe. They really do. So maybe it needs to be put here as well. A child who doesn't feel safe is not going to learn.
What I would urge you to think about is that if the intention of and that's correct, the intention of the strategic planning group was to have it addressed as part of climate, make it more explicit there, because as long as it has a clear and proper place, that's what's most important.
You're right about that. Ms. Silvera, then Ms. Mathiak. Ms. Hughes.
Thank you, Superintendent, for providing us with this option. I like this much better. Mm-hmm. I think it's much stronger. I really like the way it starts to improve academic outcomes for all students. I think that's very good. I think what we're going to see now is that, there's been some comments. I don't know if they should go here or here, or they should go here, and we're going to start to see issues that overlap different strategic objectives, which are good. And we need to remember that as we get into the discussion of what are important priorities later, and ensure that as we give you direction on some of the next steps, that we you know, go through and hit the areas in all of the different strategic objectives that do tie in together and that people do feel are important. I think it's just important to realize that one of these unto itself is not going to get us anywhere, and it's going to be important as we give you future direction to make sure it's a well-balanced approach as well.
Ms. Mathenak?
I have to say, yeah, I've looked at the fifth priority, and a lot of those really look in many ways like administrative or board level types of issues, you know, accountability, communication about MMSD, decision making. And so to me, it's not what I think. I mean, to me, it just feels like, yeah, you know, you can say climate and it looks nice there, but what we're really talking about is a safe environment for our students, and that really, in my mind, doesn't fit there because we want it located. At some point, this is going to come down to people doing things.
That's right.
And so I look at number five, and I look at organization systems, and I think, who's going to do that? Well, it's probably going to be a lot of Doyle work, a lot of board work, a lot of work with community partners. When I think of who should be involved in safe and good learning environments in our schools, I view that as something that really has to be located in the schools with the teachers and the families and the students. And so just for that reason alone, and because I do view it as absolutely fundamental to being able to learn, I really would argue that it really does belong somewhere in the first two. It really is a different critter from the rest of number five, which is a lot more structural.
Mr. Hughes?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Hughes.
Thank you.
I also want to thank the superintendent for his revision. I was uncomfortable with the curriculum strategic objective because I didn't really understand it, and I was concerned that in endorsing it, there would be implications to the endorsement that I wasn't fully aware of, and so I really did have some reservations about it. But I feel much better about the restatement, which I think is really does get to the heart of it, and in a way that is clear and understandable. So I'd be happy to support that. Second, I do have to disagree with Ms. Mathiak on the safety issue, and I think we do have to respect the work of the committee, and we did organize where these particular concerns were to be addressed, and as I say, people understood that safety was an issue, and safety is something that was an organizational and system issue that just didn't involve what happened in the schools, but did involve an overall system-wide approach, and that's where it was addressed. I don't think it is a curriculum issue. I think curriculum goes to the substance of what goes on in the classroom in terms of the learning that goes on. So I would be quite reluctant to kind of tinker with the arrangement that way. And I don't mean to minimize the concern with the issue, but I would support the work of the committee on that.
Sorry, Ms. Cole, and then Ms. Moss.
Well, two things. One is that I know we keep talking about these bullet points. I just wanted to make sure that I'm still only comfortable approving or having a motion on just the strategic objective and not necessarily the bullet points, just so we're consistent with our first discussion on students. I know the superintendent brought it up just so we can kind of. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So we're using that as a context, but we're not going to be voting on it. And then second is that I understand, and I guess I have a bias on the safety issue. I think that that by putting it in the curriculum area, especially as a board who
goes through expulsions and sees many of the complexities of the district, a lot of the safety issues and engagement issues of kids happens in the classroom, happens on a bus, happens on the playground. It is very school-centered, and a lot of what we've been talking about, and this is just my perspective, is that we're trying to move to a point where we have the PBIS, which is all about, that's the positive behavior intervention system, and that whole perspective, I think where we're going toward is looking at kids not in penalizing them, but actually teaching them appropriate behaviors. And it gets to this whole notion of anti-bullying and safety and acceptance. And so I kind of see the argument that I kind of look at it as a board, we have a little bit more knowledge, I would assume, you know, after being here for a while, and some of us have had a lot of experience in the classroom and understand that this is an issue and that it is embedded within the school system, not just the whole system, and that it is, I think it is a curricular issue in some ways, that the PBIS, bullying, those are things that we've talked about specifically in our own committee, which is student achievement and performance monitoring. So I would be comfortable adding some words at some point in the sentence that just says in a safe and welcoming environment or something to that extent, not doing anything else but just adding a context that kids deserve that.
Okay. Ms. Moss?
Okay. I know we're not supposed to be talking about the bullet points, but under student, we didn't approve the three bullet points, I don't think, right? But under the heading of relationships, to me, that's where safety and a welcoming environment would fit better than in curriculum. And I think that might be a place where it would be better to add something like the PBIS curriculum, bullying curriculum, all of that goes along with engagement, relationships, transitions. I think that the safety issue just may fit better there than, and I understand that the PBIS is a form of curriculum, but I'm kind of with the chairs in thinking that the committee felt that safety should be either under organization systems, but I can also see where that looks like it's an administrative responsibility. So my preference would be to look at it as more of a relationship issue.
Yeah, we could do this, and we could say, well, now let's look at staff, and it's up to the staff to develop a safety policy for their students in the classroom. And then we could look at resources and say overcrowded schools are not safe, and we can do that, you know, each time. Let's see if we can come to some balance here. Do you have any suggestions, Superintendent?
Well, my suggestion was more of a process suggestion.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think this is a good example of like one of those big themes, and that is where best does this whole issue of safe schools work. And so I would be more than happy, if you're comfortable with the wording, once you talk through this strategy, and coming back with a recommendation that would show where it belongs in one or more than one place. I mean, it's your prerogative to change the strategy to include it in there, so I'm not trying to cut that off. But I would be comfortable listening to your conversation, coming back at that third meeting with a recommendation, too.
Ms. Mathenick?
Since I started this whole brouhaha, I've been sitting here and I'm still not crazy about the, but I think that I can find a way to add some explicit language under organizations and systems that might meet the needs. What has bothered me all along is that the word. Which is so fundamental in so many things that people have said, is completely absent.
Good.
So I think When we get to number five, I'll offer some substitute language that will, I think, tighten that up and add that very important concept.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Mathiak. Ms. Olvera.
I was just going to say I hope we could find a way to make it work tonight rather than go back again and bring back, you know, other versions, then it opens it up to, you know, looking at other things. So if I was watching her write, so I was hoping that maybe she'd have a recommendation. So I was just going to say let's see if we can get something resolved this evening if possible.
Great.
That's great.
And Ms. Moss, where are you now with the standards?
I think that your idea of having a number seven would probably be better than putting that into the sentence, because I think there's enough already in the actual objective.
Okay. Superintendent, is that possible?
That is possible. I would like it, as long as you're not approving those items tonight, I'd like some time to think about it, because it's more than alignment.
Okay.
I mean, alignment is one piece, but it's also, I mean, aligning our curriculum within the district is one way to look at it. Aligning it to some of the new standard talk out in the national field is another way to look at it. Another way to look at it is standards-based instruction and standards-based assessment. So I'm just not sure what that number seven should read, other than I know it would be on standards, rather.
Mm-hmm.
We'd also have to develop an action plan that would align to that, because we don't have that right now.
Yeah.
But because it's so tied to that curriculum issue, I think we could work on that clearly.
Okay. Thank you.
And what about certain standards in terms of TAGS standards that are out there, too, now that we should follow, and state standards?
Right. We'll have to figure out, I mean, mainly what I was referring to were the content standards.
Okay.
You know, within and across the curriculum. There are also program standards, TAG being one, but there are more than TAG. So I think we'd have to figure out, does that fit here? Or,
okay.
But we can do that work.
We can work on that one. Ms. Mathiak.
Just a gentle request that when we're talking about standards, we don't simply talk about meeting standards, but we meet or exceed, because sometimes people look at standards as a cap, and you look at some of the standards we're asked to meet and they're actually not terribly high. So maybe we could say meet or exceed.
That's good. Ms. Skull.
So can I request a call to question so that we can approve
sounds
this?
Good to me.
And then
sure.
I'm hesitant to keep going until
okay. Let's call the question. All those in favor of the motion?
I don't know that there is a.
I don't believe there is a motion.
I thought I made the. Oh, you want to the superintendent's motion? Okay. I move. Substitute motion. To improve academic outcomes for all students and to ensure student engagement and student support, we will strengthen comprehensive curriculum instruction and assessment systems in the district. Key areas of focus will be two. We're not going to go that far. Just want to end it there. Agreed? Okay. That's it. All those in favor?
We need a second.
Sorry. Keep telling me.
Second. And then any objection to a substitute motion?
Any objection to a substitute motion?
Okay.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried.
Back to me. Okay. The third strategic objective is staff, and I move that we approve the following staff strategic objective. We will implement a formal system to support and inspire continuous development of effective teaching and leadership skills of all staff who serve to engage our diverse student body while furthering development of programs that target the recruitment and retention of staff members who reflect the cultural composition of our student body. No commas. Discussion? Silvera?
Just want to clarify the definition of staff. That's anyone working for the Madison Metropolitan School District in the school or out of the schools?
Correct. Now the question becomes, are the action plans reflecting of that? I mean, there are specific things that call for work with teachers and administrators and all that, but this is all staff.
And we will look at addressing issues similar to what was talked about in the the operational committee last night that would be beyond teachers.
Correct.
Beyond principals.
You bet.
Thank you.
Ms. Mathire?
I like this one very much, and I think, you know, it pretty much works. The one thing that I was very curious about was the phrase of all staff who serve to engage our diverse student body. And the reason that I started thinking about that is that do we only care about people who directly engage with our students, or do we care about everybody who works in the district? Do we care about really having a workforce and a work environment that reflects the 21st century? And to me, I think it is very hard for an institution to change or for an institutional culture to change if the change doesn't involve everybody from the occasional worker up through the very person at the top, people who may never spend time with students, but have an impact on our ability to recruit and retain a diverse workforce, who have an impact on whether we create a welcoming and inclusive environment and so forth and so on. So that phrase sort of bothers me because it feels like it lets part of us off the hook, and I don't think any of us should be off the hook, including the board.
I have a thought that would address that without changing much. So I don't know if you want me to offer it now or...
Please do.
It would be to who serve to engage and support. Is that yours? You can have it. Right.
Now, that phrase wasn't intended as one of limitation, I know. It was more one of description. So I understand the grammatical structure of the sentence can be read as limiting it to that, to a subgroup, but that wasn't the intention. So I think that if we, I would accept that and support addition as a friendly amendment, and I believe that addresses the concern.
If you move that, I will second as a friendly amendment.
I don't have to. I can just accept
it. I like that. Go ahead.
I did. So I think we can move directly to a vote on this one. All in favor of the staff strategic objective as set forth in the strategic plan with the addition of the words and support between engage and hour in the second line, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That passes 7-0.
All right. Moving right along. By the way, I wanted to add something about that. I sat in on a few of these staff things, and they were fantastic. The people that were involved in the staff action plans and working with the staff at the major meeting were wonderful. Came up with some wonderful ideas. Everything about that whole thing was excellent. All right, resource and capacity. We will rigorously evaluate programs, services, and personnel through a collaborative, data-driven process to prioritize and allocate resources effectively and equitably and vigorously pursue the resources necessary to achieve our mission. I move that we accept this statement. Seconds? Okay. Discussion. Yeah, especially after the... the state revenue thing, vigorously pursue resources, comes in very handy here. All right, yeah. Discussion?
I just think that allocate and prioritize is really what we need to do first. That's what I had asked. So.
Okay. Call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Wow, 7-0. Mr. Hughes, you're on.
The final strategic objective was organization/systems. I move that we approve as a strategic objective the following. The Madison Metropolitan School District will promote, encourage, and maintain systems of practice that serve to unify and strengthen its schools, programs, departments, and services, as well as the district as a whole. Second?
Second.
Discussion? Ms. Mathak? Yeah.
Mr. Hughes, I'd like to offer what I hope is a friendly amendment, and it's just some minor wordsmithing that I think will address the issue that I raised earlier. I would like to amend this to read, the Madison Metropolitan School District will promote, encourage, and maintain systems of practice that will create safe and productive work and learning environments and unify and strengthen its schools, programs, departments, services, and the district as a whole.
I certainly accept that as a friendly amendment. Could you repeat your language addition again?
And I actually took out a couple joining clauses just to tighten it up a little bit. The Madison Metropolitan School District will promote, encourage, and maintain systems of practice that will create safe and productive learning and work environments and will unify and strengthen its schools, programs, departments, services, and the district as a whole.
Very good. Okay. Any discussion on that? If not, we'll proceed to a vote. All in favor, Superintendent?
Yeah. Just a couple of points. One is very minor, and I'm sorry I didn't catch it earlier, but would you consider, I mean, all of them begin with "we will," and this one, it's just a construction issue.
Works for me.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
I should have caught that.
The
You're
other
right.
thing, in, and I think this is a good place for that wording.
It is.
My only thought, and I guess I just want you to be aware of this, this really was that discussion of tension in ensuring a focus on unifying and strengthening our approaches based on that tension. That's where this all came out of. And what I am just a little bit concerned about is, can we live with it either way? Absolutely. To maintain that focus that was intended through the unification and strengthening, would it be better to lead with that and then put that piece in second?
Can you tell me about the unification and strengthening part? Because I did not get that out of the bullets below.
Well, and I think...
clearly I'm not alone on that problem.
Well, and I don't know that you would necessarily get that out of any of those words, because it was really that rich discussion about this, and it got framed up around this tension issue in terms of, you know, ensuring a focus on all kids. Can we move to that? Yes, there are problems and constraints in doing that. And so that's where the end result was an approach that would be anchored in unifying our direction, as opposed to kind of separating us in terms of approaches for some kids, not all kids, not these kids. Well, I'm just... Okay. Okay. So what I was trying to do, and again, I didn't put any words to it, is to lead with the unify and strengthen, and then to follow with the statement on the safe environments. To not diminish what came out of that rich discussion.
Okay.
Okay.
So do you want to hear how it would now read as amended to do what you said? We will promote, encourage, and maintain systems of practice that will unify and strengthen our schools and will create safe and productive learning and work environments. And then that doesn't work. Okay, let me try that again. We will promote, encourage, and maintain systems of practice that will unify and strengthen our schools, programs, departments, services, and the district as a whole, and will create safe and productive learning and work environments.
Okay, so one more time.
I thought it sounded better the first time.
I thought it sounded better the first time.
Yeah. The... the challenge, and maybe it's the part of fitting in the place where we specifically say schools, programs, departments, and services. Right. If we're comfortable saying unify and strengthen the district as a whole, it makes it a lot easier to fit together. So we will promote, encourage, and maintain systems of practice that will unify and strengthen the district as a whole and will create safe and productive learning and work environments.
I have a question about the tension. Because in my mind, the tension comes out in numbers 1 and 2 more than number 5. So can you elaborate a little bit more on how that fits into systems and organization, please?
My response would be more one of how did the process evolve. I don't disagree that it's now found under 1 and 2, but when it was discussed as the group of 62, in terms of that issue, if we go to the page that was referred to earlier, I'm on page 24. That really, if you're looking at rank order number 2 under organizational systems, it was placed there. It's recognizing the tension in the system to meet the needs of all students who are traditionally successful and those students whose needs are not being met. Raise the bar for all. So by process-wise, it was placed in that group. And that's where I think what they ended up finding is good ideas to better brand ourselves, to communicate. If you look at the action plans, I think they found good ideas to address that. But it really, I just want you to know, was born out of that discussion.
So it seems to me that just having strengthened the district as a whole might not really capture what everyone wanted. That this schools, programs, departments, services might.
Yeah, I believe that to be true, just based on the genesis of that dialogue that occurred. And yet at the same time, I think the way Ms. Mathiak was capturing it, I think is a good way to capture both of those pieces.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the first iteration of it.
Can you read it one more time? Please.
The original one I offered as a substitute?
Yes.
Okay. We will promote, encourage, and maintain systems of practice that will create safe and productive learning and work environments and that will unify and strengthen the district as a whole.
I would prefer to unify and strengthen. That's what's in the initial statement.
Okay. That will unify and strengthen its schools, programs, departments, services, and the district as a whole.
Right.
So can you read it one more time to make sure that Ms. Lehman has a...
We will promote, encourage, and maintain systems of practice that will create safe and productive learning and work environments and that will unify and strengthen our schools, programs, departments, services, as well as the district as a whole. I went back to the original wording.
Can we vote on that?
Yep.
All in favor of adopting the recently read statement as the strategic objective for the organization and systems, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? That passes. And I suggest we take a break for 10 minutes and then come back and talk about priorities and with respect to action plans.
Yeah, that's really where I meant those themes and focus areas was around the action plans.
All right. Okay, let's do that. coming back into session for a discussion of our priorities. Ed has discussed this, and I think he has a pretty good idea of what we should be doing now. The rest of us don't, but that's okay. We'll just keep moving anyway.
So we thank Ed for
what
his,
is your suggestion, Edward?
What I would propose is that the superintendent give us a little introduction as to what sort of guidance he's looking for us at this point in terms of fleshing out the strategic objectives we've addressed, and then we each take a turn expressing at a fairly in fairly broad strokes what are our specific priorities, one or two, with respect to the action steps, and if there's anything that's been identified as an action step that we're unable to support, we simply mention that without necessarily going into any detail. And then superintendent can really tell us when he has gotten enough information from us to move to the next step, which is he coming back to us and providing some prioritized action steps that give us a workable path forward over the next year, I suppose. Does that sound right?
That okay. Clearly does. So do you want me to go
yes,
into
please.
And it was really reflected in my initial conversation, was mainly aimed at, you know, bridging from the strategic objectives into the action plans. I really want to commend you for the discussion that you had earlier in terms of really focusing in on those real foundation pieces of a strategic plan and the mission, the beliefs, our culture around the parameters, and then to get into the specifics about those critical issues that link to those strategies. That was a very important discussion, and I commend the discussion you had and how you worked to resolve some good ideas and making changes. But then it bridges to the actionable piece around the strategic plan, and that gets framed up in those action plans based on a couple of things that you did earlier. We do have to do some reconstruction, and we will go about that work. In fact, we have time set aside during our annual management team retreat to do additional work to bring back to you for that third meeting. But really what I'm hoping can occur for the remainder of our session here this evening is not the solution side, although if there are very specific ideas, it would really help to know what they are, but it's that input that you provided, Ms. Silvera, around really big picture questions around these action plans in terms of things that you feel within there that are really kind of areas that we need to focus on, or you see problems if we focus on them as they're described, and really kind of taking it up, not to the necessarily to the detail level of the action plans, but what is it about those action plans that would have you feeling comfortable in eventually approving them? And so that's the kind of conversation that would help, with the understanding that I would come back to you in working with you back and forth between this meeting and the third meeting with recommendations that would address those big picture themes. I call them themes. You can call them areas that really we should focus on. I don't mean the priorities 1, 2, and 3s. I don't mean at that level, although, if you have an idea, it's certainly welcome and I want to listen to it. But it's that big picture themes around really what's most important, what are you most concerned about. And if we could kind of flesh that out, and I think then I can go about between now and the third meeting and providing you additional direction and recommendations, I should say.
Thank you. Ms. Cole?
Well, I wanted to address, we've got all these discussions that we've been having as a board, the questions that we submitted to you the first round, and then we got a group of answers back, and now we have the second set of strategic plan questions that are the general overview. And I wanted to say that I did not submit any strategic plan questions, mostly because my first document or stab at this was a pretty lengthy number of questions and comments. And I'm a bit frustrated at this point because I was hoping that
would not publish the answers in a way where it feels like some of my comments and questions are kind of disjointed. So I'm just, I want to have another, you know, a broader discussion before we get into action steps on, you know, how we can address that. Because I'm not completely satisfied yet with getting answers. And when I reflected over the answers that were given the first round from the administration to the board, I still had a lot of unanswered questions and confusion. Some of it relates to definitions. Some of it relates back to this education speak kind of stuff. And a lot of it, for me at least, comes back to getting a better idea of our long-term priorities, our short-term priorities, and what we can actually do as a district, you know, and I don't want to stop this movement, but on the other hand, I just have a lot of questions that haven't been answered, and I'm wondering how other people feel about this.
Does someone want to comment on that?
I can. I think that we all had a number of questions, I think, about various proposals in the action plan, and there are still a number of questions that are unresolved. And I think that for purposes of our discussion this evening, I think that if we don't know enough about a particular action step to endorse it or to be comfortable with it, I think that's something that we can indicate. Or, you know, given our present state of knowledge, I mean, I think we know what our priorities are, even though there might be some open question. So it would be helpful, I think, if we focus on what our priorities are in terms of, and I'm sure that we can get additional information in response to the questions we have. I know that some of the response, I understand that the answers we received were intended as a first cut at some of those issues and weren't intended to be comprehensive. So it is an ongoing process, and I don't think that we should assume that our statement of priorities tonight assumes perfect information, because I think we all have questions. In terms of the specific, you know, promulgation of what we produce, I think if we want people to see it, we can get it out there. That's not an issue, or if that's what people want to do. But I would like to see us proceed with what our current thinking is in terms of priorities based on our current state of knowledge.
I think I would prefer to move ahead tonight with that, with the separating out the fact that I think you should meet with the superintendent, perhaps, and go over your questions more explicitly, and then.
Well, we were going to do that at one point. We were going to meet with him, and then we the calendar kind of moved quicker than we thought. And I just think that this is the meat of the document. It's where everything happens. I mean, I could start giving examples, but I think that, you know, I submitted these questions. It was like close to 25 questions. I had a lot of comments, and then the answers just weren't, you know, I mean, you only have so much time, and I can give many examples,
well,
you know, where...
Ms. Mathiak, let's go on.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying, because I too submitted a number of questions, and what I find frustrating is that I didn't find the answers to be helpful to many of the questions. And to me, it boils down to a lot of, I understand we have a group that does a lot of research. That's great. Love it to death. But for God's sake, please tell me in concrete terms what this means and what's going to happen if we support it. And I'm not finding that. I'm finding a lot of jargon and a lot of lectures about terminology. I get the terminology, but in applied terms, where are we going? And so I have a certain amount of frustration, you know, and certainly when it comes to individual action plans, that's one of my larger barriers. I am not, and certainly you've seen this in the year you've been here, I'm not comfortable approving things that are sort of vague and general, and it might be this or it might be that, and it relies on terms that may have meanings
that are one place and, you know, that mean one thing in one context and then another thing in another. I'd rather be explicit. This is what we're going to do. This is our compact with each other and with our students and our families. That's what I'm looking for, and I don't think we're quite there yet. I know we'll get there, but I'm a little frustrated because it makes it a little hard to endorse. That said, when I look, and again, that's part of why in working with this document, you know, and I did spend a lot of time saying to myself, what in here, you know, because it was like 80, almost 90 pages of stuff. So I, you know, spent some time saying, well, instead of saying what I don't like, what do I like, mm-hmm. and what are the pieces I can agree with? And there were pieces that were very easy. The mission statement was an obvious example, very nice and very nice to be able to just vote on it. There were other parts, and it really did come down to the action plans where I was struggling, and that's where I ended up going back again to that identification of critical issues and what I said to you. I wasn't being a wise guy, I really meant it sincerely. When I look at what I value and what I think is important, it's the first 10 items on that list. I think many of the things that fall after the first 10, and even some within the first 10, reinforce each other. And so that's good. What concerned me is that when I looked at that list of critical issues, there were at times a disconnect in emphasis between the action plans and the critical issues as they were raised and emphasized by the participants. So, you know, to give you an example, the achievement gap was mentioned 76 times as a priority issue. In the entire document, we use the words achievement gap 13 times, and that includes that list. There are other things. Accelerated learning got 25 mentions, you know, to give you a contrast. So I think that as you go through and work with your senior staff, I would strongly encourage you to go back and look at those lists of critical issues and make sure that the action plans we're developing actually align with what people said was very, very important and foremost in their minds. Because to me, that's part of the compact with the community is, you know, and when I looked at, this tells you what a nerd I am. I actually did an analysis of who participated in the meetings that would have produced the critical issues and then the action plans. And there is sort of a shift in who was involved in the groups. So to me, the truest statement of what people wanted was on those pages. But I urge you to go back and try to get a little more focused alignment so that the things we're emphasizing as we approve action plans reflect the things that were emphasized when you first came together with the community. It's not that far off, but there need to be some adjustments, in my opinion, and based on my propensity to count things.
Ms. Silvera?
Thank you.
I feel comfortable being able to identify you know, broad brush priorities tonight, personally speaking. I think that then when Superintendent, you go back before the third meeting and kind of flesh out some of the actions that will support the priorities that come up tonight, then we have more time between now and the third meeting to get questions answered, to ask more questions, to make sure we understand some of the, you know, the real things that are listed in the action plan. But I just wanted to say that if we're really talking, you know, broad priorities, I feel I have enough information to be able to do that this evening. Absolutely.
Would you
like
to? Yes. I'm going to start?
Sure.
Let's do it. Let's see what we can do. Anybody want to start?
Sure.
No. Okay. Well, I listed five in no order in particular. And I went back to the kind of a cross between the strategic objectives and the measurable objectives. I wasn't quite sure. And again, this is not in any order. I put one, went back to the measurable objective that our schools will be safe and secure and foster a climate of respect and acceptance for all. And just some notes, you know, I thought that was to encompass discipline, bullying, code of conduct, certainly physical parts of the building. I think
I also included under the acceptance for all in my mind that it would be welcoming to parents in the community, talk about parent empowerment groups, homeschool communication, falling under here, SIP plans, you know, very broad definition. The second I put as addressing the achievement of our kids of color. I pulled this out as a separate action plan. I'd like to see it as a plan that integrates many of the elements of the different strategies, not just under curriculum. I think elements under staff, under everything, need to support this. Parent involvement's important. I think culturally relevant curriculum is a piece of a plan. I don't view that as the entire plan or the solution, and I think it's important, but I'd like to see some action plans that have quicker results than maybe the longer-term foundational things like what I would view culturally relevant curriculum. You know, Nan Bryan and others, Lucy's been talking, people from the Wiseman Center on brain development of how kids from low-income families may learn those types of things, and I'd put 4K in here and, you know, tie it in with the real grants. I think the staff's strategic objective is I like it. I wouldn't, as long as it focuses on our entire staff. I took this as a measurable objective, and I'm not sure it's the one, the structure MMSD's K-12 instruction, course offerings and pathways in alignment with MMSD's strategic plan and the Wisconsin Model Academic Standards to expand and create accelerated learning opportunities for all students. Maybe that's the right one, but I think this is where we have to act on our plans to address our talented and gifted kids. And I think the TAG plan and how we're going to support our kids in that area need to be tied in there. Same for Fine Arts Task Force, you know, educational options. I also have been very big on looking at our alternative programs and how we can support some of our kids. So I was trying to find a measurable objective that, but individually identify groups, not just we're going to address the needs of everyone by doing one thing. We'd have, you know, TAG, we'd have alternatives, we'd have whatever the appropriate one is. And then the resource capacity strategic objective, I support the whole section. I think that's incredibly important, especially in light of the budget. If we really are going to reallocate and start moving the district forward, we have to A, see what's working, and A, find where we can get money to support the things that are working. And so I liked that section. Was that kind of the way to
do
it?
That's the kind of input that I'm very much looking for.
Ms. Moss?
Okay. I did this a little bit differently. I looked at the strategic objective and also the measurable objectives, and on the first one, I didn't exactly, I kind of added something of my own that wasn't actually listed, but I do think that my first priority would be to basically attack the achievement gap, and I feel like the best way to do that is to start with our youngest children and to implement 4K, because that's where we're going to, that's where we need to start with our youngest children and start from the very, very beginning with those kids. And I think that starting with our youngest, we need to also look at our transitions from every single level, from birth to three, from 3-year-old to 4K, 4K to kindergarten, and when we have our where we have our paired schools, look at those transitions to middle school to high school for all of the kids. And I think that that is a place where we need to improve relationships between the schools, among the staff in those schools. And I think that and target the at-risk kids, target those kids who may be coming into sixth grade or into ninth grade who are at risk of not making it when they move to the next school. And basically relationships between families and school, teachers to students, and teachers to teachers. So those are my two priorities under student would be 4K and then to look at the transitions. And then also that also includes, which I didn't write down, the transition out of school, the post-graduation outcomes. But again, I just want to reiterate, I really think we have to start with our young kids, our really little kids. The next one under curriculum, my opinion or my kind of philosophy is that a lot of these measurable objectives overlap so that when we address one of them, we will inherently address others. I wrote a paragraph and I used a whole bunch of the words. I used the word flexible instruction, which I think now has been flexible learning applied to students or whatever the superintendent's words were that I thought were better.
Yeah.
It was more student-centered approach. But I think that that's got to be aligned to the standards. Again, my thing with the standards. And I think that if we're looking at having high expectations for our kids, and we're looking at improving their achievement, we're going to have to look at cultural relevance because that's the way, we have to look at the way, best way that our individual kids learn. And for many of the kids, it will be providing culturally relevant curriculum and teaching methodology. Let's see. Oh, I'll read. This is a pretty good sentence, actually, if I read this. Cultural relevance will be a natural outgrowth of participatory education because the students will choose to learn and will excel when given the opportunity of using their life experience as a legitimate means of learning. So therefore, we need to legitimize each child's life experience, their family, their background. That's going to bring in cultural relevance. That's going to bring in participatory education. So to me, it all really kind of fits in. And I think a lot of it fits into the ILP, the individual learning plan. I think that that's, to me, going to make a huge impact on all the kids. And I know it's going to be a big project, but I really think that that's where we have to go because that's going to include the TAG kids. That's going to include the kids who want to go to technical school, the kids who want to get out and work. The kids with disabilities who want to go to a college, two-year college program, the kids with disabilities who want to go and work at Subway. That's going to include everybody. The next one is staff. I thought the two measurable objectives under the staff were good. I do really want to emphasize relationship building and collaboration among family and staff across schools, within schools, between schools. I just think that collaboration is, my experience has been when the staff is given just the smallest opportunity to collaborate, it makes a huge difference in the programming and in their enthusiasm and their buy-in. So the next one under resource and capacity, I felt that we first needed to look at allocating the resources mainly because of our budget, but that's something we need to look at all the time, effectively and equitably allocate the resources. And then after we're more settled into next year, and if we are going to be settled in the next couple of years, then and not having to make these snap decisions that I know are inevitable before next year, I really want to start looking at evaluating programs and staff, make sure, make every effort to discontinue programs that are not working, improve programs that are working, streamlining, consolidating, and I think that that could conceivably save us a lot of paperwork, money, time. And I think that we can do it. I really think that there are a lot of programs out there that can be consolidated. And that's where the task force plans, the fine arts, math, and TAG, I think, fit into that as well. Organization systems. We talked about a communication plan last year, and I thought it was a really great idea. I think that after seeing the survey of the leavers, the families who have left our district, that a communication plan is of the utmost importance to us. And we're not only going to have to market ourselves as with glossy pictures of kids behind in great science labs, but it's got to build trust, and we've got to increase the interest in our schools so that people, when they drive by, they say, there's a school. I wonder, you know, they might think, I wonder what's going on in there. There are good things going on in that building. And buy-in from the community, and that's another place where the partnerships will fit in. Improving the climate of our schools and be more open and willing and able to collaborate and coordinate with community partners and among schools. So I think for organization systems, my number one would be the communication plan that we need to develop with, most likely with outside help. And I just said that the measurable, I think all of the objectives are important, but I didn't really find anything objectionable. The action steps, I found a little confusing just because I didn't really understand what each one meant, but I felt like I could do this. I could tell you what my kind of umbrella priorities are. So, okay.
Thank you.
I can go. Thanks. I also try to identify my priorities, and I first considered the student and curriculum strategic objectives together because I think, well, they fit together in my mind. And to me, the clear highest priority in this area is addressing the underperformance of students of color, the achievement gap. And I hope that we would used as a measurable objective the extent to which underperforming kids improve their performance rather than comparing them to other groups, because I just think that that's not a very good way to go about it. But in terms of addressing the achievement gap, I think that our proposed action steps actually don't go far enough. I think that if we're serious about addressing the achievement gap, we not only have to consider better engagement in the classroom, which I think the action plans address, but also the fact that if we want students to learn more, then those students are going to have to learn more. And it sounds like a truism, but I think it gets lost sometimes in that it's hard work to learn stuff, and we can't simply inject knowledge into our students. They're going to have to buckle down and do the hard work of learning, and that entails paying attention in class, that entails attending school, that entails studying for tests and doing homework. I just don't think there are any shortcuts on that. So what I would like to see is some action plans that facilitate, make it better, or give our kids who are not performing the tools so that they can do what they need to learn. I'm encouraged by what the AVID program does, for example, in teaching kids study skills, in teaching kids how to take notes. The reason you take notes is so you can study for their notes and study for tests. And that's the kind of tool that we need to give our kids. I think we have to raise expectations for everyone. That includes students, and that includes parents. I think that we need to have expectations that all parents would provide an environment for their kids that encourages learning and makes it possible. So if we could explore better partnerships with parents in order to facilitate learning, I think that would be great. So I think that the achievement gap is, for me, the highest priority. I'm willing to support the culturally relevant instruction component if it works. Whatever works is something that I'm willing to support. So I would like to see it as something of a pilot program, and we'll see the extent to which it leads to measurable improvement in student performance. And if it does, then that's great. Then we should expand it. And if it doesn't, then there's no reason to continue with it. My second priority in this area would be 4K. I think that goes to the achievement gap, as has been mentioned. I also think we just adopted a strategic objective that says we will prepare all our students for kindergarten, and I don't see how we do that if we don't have 4K, because our efforts with students who are not yet in kindergarten as it exists are fairly limited. I think my third area priority in this area is we'll be implementing the recommendations of the TAG plan, assuming that we get a TAG plan with reasonable proposals, which I expect. I think that Providing specific accelerated learning opportunities is something that we haven't been doing enough of, and we need to improve for a number of reasons, and so that would be a priority for me in that area. Individual learning plans, flexible instruction and participatory education, and authentic assessment and work on transitions are all, to me, worthwhile goals, I think, but they're of a lesser order of priority in terms of our immediate actions. And I think the question has been raised, what do we do about the gaps of our own knowledge about what's intended in these action plans? And what I had expected or hoped was, I think that, you know, for authentic assessment, if that were still an action step, we have questions about that. We don't really understand what it means. But if none of us today say that's a priority for us, that we're going to really put resources into it right now, then I think it's okay if we don't understand it. We're not necessarily endorsing it, and we don't have to waste, well, it's not wasting time necessarily, but we can move on. So I think one way to deal with the gaps in knowledge that we have are to see what our priorities are and focus on making sure that we understand what we're planning to do with respect to those priority areas. With respect to the staff strategic objective, I thought the action steps were great in that strategic objective, and I don't have a strong view on relative priorities. One thing I do think, and that I've really come to believe, is that principals are so key to the success of our schools, both for the individual schools and to the larger community, that I would hope that we have adequate professional development that's addressed specifically to principals and the particular unusually broad range of skills that we expect them to bring to bear on their very important and difficult tasks. With respect to the resource capacity strategic objective, I also support the action steps there. I think my first priority there would be an organizational review of our administrative functions so that we can enhance efficiency and performance downtown, that we get we take a look at how we arrange things, how we organize our structure so that the superintendent gets the structure he wants with the people he wants. And I think if we can do that as a first step, then the necessary analysis of programs would kind of flow from that. Finally, the organization system strategic objective. I support all the recommendations. My priorities would be first, as Beth pointed out, I agree we need work on a development with, I think, skilled outside help on a communications plan for the district. My second priority would be that our schools are safe and secure and that the community perceives our schools to be as safe as they in fact are. We don't want to trick anyone as to what the situation is, but I think we want people to realize, have an accurate view of our school's safety. And we also need to work on the climate of respect and acceptance for all. And then the final priority would be high-quality collaborations and partnerships. And I think that's a long-range goal, and I'm not sure how we go about it at first. The implementation might be challenging, but I think that that's also critical to our continued success in a time of diminishing resources. So that's mine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next. I'll go. All right. I can support implementing individual learning plans for each student. I think when I did this, I thought about also what our expenses might be for these things. And a lot of the things we can do here do not have to break the bank by any means. And so when I looked at the implementing individual learning plans, I thought we could do it without the expensive resources listed in the plan. And I wasn't sure whether we needed one or two. Also for students, I think there are some groups that we have to specifically get in touch with and do something with, and that's our achievement gap students, our alternative groups, and our TAG students. And one group that no one ever mentions, but the percentages are extremely high, and that's our AODA kids, and it's never mentioned anywhere. I support, in terms of the student action plan relationships, I support the four dimensions of relationships, because this can create a community in each school connecting the teacher, the student, and the parent. I support the definitions of each transition category, and I want to communicate it across the district, and this is crucial to improving communication between teachers throughout the district, and I have never seen this fail when teachers have tried to do it on their own. I do support, as Ed said, we must do something for African American children. They desperately need additional programming, and they need it immediately. We are failing them, and I think if, in fact, our cultural relevance helps them, then we keep it. If not, we've got to try something else again and again until we get it right. I support, and I, frankly, I didn't even know we had a Shrek. It's not Shrek, it's Shrek. So it's nice to know we have it. I support collaboration between general education, special education, and ESL, providing we include also the TAGS people and the fine arts people. This is the most sophisticated and fulfilling part of teaching that all good teachers want in place. I liked Arlene's definition of rigor, which I will repeat here, and I'd like us to use that throughout the district, which is rigor is the goal of helping students develop the capacity to understand content that is complex, ambiguous, provocative, and personally or emotionally challenging. This is where I had the most fun with my students. I would support...
For clarification, yes. I didn't make that up.
I know, you found it, but it was good, for, good of you to find it. Thank you very much. It
came from an MSAND link that someone sent me.
Okay, but very good. The staff objective, this is one of the best written action plans in the document, and I agree with most of its priorities. How we're going to get it done, you know, we might need some changes in teaching and learning to get it accomplished. Professional development, I would support action step one as a start. Develop site-based and district-wide learning community teams, but not just for culturally relevant practices, although that's needed, but for all curriculum. Getting teachers to work together on curriculum gives them a stake in its success. The one about the enhancing the recruitment and retention ends by saying, by focusing on the pre-service stages of an educator's career, that's good, that's a given, but I would like it at all stages. Organization and action systems, I support, the district will support all schools' climate goals in SIP, and using these climate surveys as a basis for improvement throughout the school. Now, I'm not sure this has really been done, although it seems very logical, and I know some schools should take that data and do something with it. I'm not sure there's a follow-up with the climate as much as there should be. I support continued study of inter- and out-of-district transfers, which will hopefully lead to fewer such requests. I support expanding technology of virtual classes and options to meet diverse learning styles, TAGS included, please. I support making a direct link to the strategic plan when making our decisions, and two, creating advisory groups. I would love to go back to those old advisory groups, and I think, Superintendent, you spoke to that when you first came to the district, so I think that's it, basically. Okay.
Anyone else want to say anything?
I'm just real happy with what everyone has talked about, and to me, in terms of superintendent, obviously a lot of work has gone thus far into the document, and obviously making priorities is very important, you know, and I'll reiterate that I'm just looking forward to the action steps to make these things happen.
Thank you. Ms. Cole?
Well, like I said before, I still have a lot of unanswered questions, and so I'm just going to go through a few things. I think for me the priorities still revolve around these critical issues, and however we address the achievement gap, the tension in the system, the outdated model of education, the cultural relevancy, opportunities for success for every student, and rigorous resource allocation based on effectiveness, then I'll be really happy. I do think that we need to have a conversation about a timetable for each key strategic objective. The action plans need for me to be categorized into short-term goals and long-term goals. Still would like to see some sort of data dashboard where we can go to it on an annual basis and compile and distribute data. I also want to know specifically the relevant data and indicators that we're going to use to measure success. I couldn't find that. And that, you know, how are we going to monitor the effectiveness of our action plans over time? These are just things that I'm concerned with. I guess I read a different I read this in a different way. You know, the individualized learning plans in general, I support, but I still don't have an answer of whether how much this is going to cost, what the structure is going to be. Are we talking about individualized learning plans for 25,000 students within 5 years, 10 years? You know, I'm really frustrated because we were going to have standard-based report cards, and our rollouts aren't always as smooth as the paper that we put them on, and it looks like a really good idea. And I think we need to talk about at some point where MTI is on all this. Individualized learning plans, to me, means that the teaching staff is going to be asked to do even more. And I don't know if the union is ready for that. Another area where I was really disappointed was relationships. You know, some of these action steps were talking about research and development. They were talking about principals having walkthroughs of buildings. I thought a lot of this stuff was already happening in the district. In relationships, there were words like we would consider implementation. There just wasn't a lot of, for me, well-defined, this is what we're going for, this is what we're going to achieve. And maybe I just had a different picture. I think the curriculum area is the one area that I'm very concerned with. I still don't like a lot of the definitions, and I think we need to be specific. However, I was really happy with what the superintendent brought up tonight about the different kinds of assessments that they're both summative and can't remember what the other one is, but that we're using a large group of assessments to look at kids and see what they're learning and where they need to go. I think that it was the cultural relevancy was the area where we were going to have principals do a walkthrough and I think look at buildings, and I just think that we can do a little more than that, and that was sort of disappointing. I'm not comfortable with, and I think the TAG task force has talked about this, really understanding what flexible instruction is. Some of the stuff when I was reading curriculum looked like the same stuff that we've always done, and that hasn't worked out very well for a lot of students. So that was curriculum. And the resource capacity action plans, my biggest concern there is that we create a timeline and a plan of action that's going to address the critical issue of rigorous resource allocation based on effectiveness, and how are we specifically going to do this. My other concern, and I'm kind of talking off the top of my head, is that there was also this overriding view of that we were going to create a lot of stuff within the district, and whether it was the ILPs I can't remember what other one is, but I was thinking when we talk about resource allocation that why aren't we going outside of the system to find people that can actually measure this stuff and help us prioritize and allocate resources effectively? We've tried to take stabs at this before with the Equity Task Force, and it feels like we didn't get much accomplished, although the board, I think, does accomplish some of that at times when we question. So when we question different purchases and so forth. So I just think that it would be nice to have a discussion on how much we can actually take on, and this gets back to the idea of core competencies. Do we have the staff and the budget to accomplish all this stuff? This would be really great stuff if we have the budget and the staff, and I don't know if it's there. And I could go on and on, but I won't. So I just hope that these questions get answered and that we can have another discussion about what this is going to look like. It's I don't think that I'm ready to vote on any of this at this time. And I hope at some point that I had said this before, but I would like to have my questions put up on the website just so that people can see what I was thinking and that it's not so disjointed with I think half of my questions for the answers, unless there's objection, and that's fine.
Anyone else? Superintendent, is this adequate for your purposes?
It is, and these were the kind of ideas that I was looking for. And what I would like, if this is all right with you, is to now work on responding to them with a set of recommendations. And my thought is we can work in within the context of the plan structure to address that where possible, but I have what I need to move forward now.
Now, when you say recommendations, can you describe a little more what you have in mind, like proposed action steps or something different?
Here, I mean, just a couple of thoughts, and it's not all firm in my head, and I also need to meet with staff to kind of help me think through this, is one of the things that we could make explicit relative to Ms. Mathiak's idea is the relationship between action plans and critical issues. And I have an idea on how that could be done right on the form. Now, more may have been meant by that, and I'm not trying to say that that addresses all of it, but that link, that explicit link between the critical issues and the action plans, I think there's a way to do that. You know, just other ideas in terms of, you know, hearing the example from a couple of you about the priority of 4K, that isn't a new idea, but the question is it explicit enough in the plan? And that's what I'll be looking for as I look at that. I don't see, using that example, I don't see anything inconsistent with the plan's intentions, but is it stated in the best way? And that's what I think, those are the kinds of things I'd like to look at in responding to your priorities. And so I think, you know, we have some work to do as staff. I'm optimistic about moving ahead with that based on what I heard here. We'll need some time to do it. And what I'd like to do is continue to interact with you on your ideas as we go forward. And if anyone wants to meet with me in terms of more particular questions, I'm very open to that and wanting to do that. So I'll look at those opportunities as well.
Thank you. Ms. Mathiak?
First of all, thank you, everyone, for a good discussion tonight. The one thing I would like to ask of the superintendent, because it really struck me how very, very helpful it was that you reframed a couple of things, including the part on assessment. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying this as a parent who used to get these rubrics from the district, and I found them completely useless. I had no idea what in the heck they meant. And I should say that as an undergraduate, I took a bunch of education courses because I wanted to be a teacher at one point in my young life, and it still didn't make sense to me. To the extent that we can, as you look at what you're sending back to us and proposing, to the extent that you can serve as our bilingual resource person,
sure.
And translate the EduSpeak into, I just want to say that I understand theory. I minored in sociology in my graduate program, and I was in the most theoretical part of the department, and I got straight A's. I can out-theory anybody, but there's a part in my head that's thinking like a parent. And at some point, we're going back to parents and the public. And we need to be saying things that people understand and that we understand. We have common understanding among ourselves about what it is we're actually doing. So if you could translate some of the
sure.
terminology into English for civilians, I would just be so pleased.
Sure.
And grateful, and it probably would make things go a lot more smoothly.
Okay.
I may be wrong.
Thank you, and I think the flip side of that is we said a lot of stuff tonight, and if there's anything that we said that you're unclear about, just call us.
I will. I clearly will do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we need to set a date for our next meeting right now, or should we?
I think we have to wait for the superintendent.
Yeah, what I'd like to do is have a conversation with staff about how much time do we think we need, and then working with Barb, we'll look at your calendars and get it scheduled soon. But we're going to need a few weeks to put this together.
The motion, ma'am?
Thank you.
Any other discussion for me?
Superintendent, the other thing I would say, and I only speak for myself because I have no idea what other people think, but I have to say that when we got the original package and there were some 80 pages, each with a grid with multiple steps and priorities, it felt absolutely overwhelming.
Sure.
As I looked at each of them, it appeared that there were some areas of overlap. And to the extent that you can streamline what we get back, I would personally find that very helpful because it really helps to hone in on what is important and what we will be
sure.
doing this next year. I don't need 80 pages back,
sure.
you know.
Understood.
Ms. Ma?
Yeah, following up on that, I was wondering, I talked to you, Dr. Neerad, a while ago about the length of the document, and when will we be deciding what will go into the appendices and what would be the meat of the document? Because I know I talked about the strengths and weaknesses as being such a big chunk at the beginning, and then also some of the plans that I had seen were only, you know, maybe 4 pages long, and they were so much easier to digest and really just the main points of what that particular school district was doing. So I wondered if maybe it might be helpful for the other board members to see some of those other plans from other districts.
I think that would be helpful. And here's how I feel about that. And I think it's consistent with how we talked about it that day. And that is that I think for now, I want to err on the side of having you see everything and then, you know, boiling it into priorities based on this discussion and looking for overlap and eliminating where we can do that. And then it has to move into, once you approve the plan in its entirety, then it has to move into a communication strategy because, you know, and I could be wrong, but my guess is that each of those other districts has a much thicker document. But what they then do is they address how do we best communicate this plan so our public understand it, so parents understand it. And they put together more abbreviated communication tools for that. We're going to have to move into that. But I think, you know, and I can begin working with our communication staff to think through ideas around that. You know, and maybe we can use some creative approaches, you know, based on new media forms for that, and I'm very much wanting to explore that. But I guess what I want to do is I want to commit to doing that, but I need to commit on finishing the content piece of it now, and then with the assurance that we'll move into how do you take this plan and put it into that 3-4-page communication format, and we can do that. We
okay.
will do that.
That would be great because that helped me to visualize what. Because when I got, like Ms. Mathiag, I got that stack, and I thought, oh, no,
yeah.
oh, no, what have we done?
Will there be a test?
right, exactly. And so I thought it would probably fill our whole website. But
right. But
I think that it might help everyone. I don't know. So other people may have already
sure.
seen other plans
sure.
but to help
okay.
us visualize better.
Yeah, we can put some of those together and get those out. It's a good idea.
Anyone have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you.
Good
thank
night,
you.
People.
Yes,
it was a very
you.
Good night.
Yeah.
Very useful night.
Very much appreciate
yeah.
the input.